Since the meetings, during the meetings, I was only doing a page. It's nice. It's just doing a place as a pastime, so it's just a pastime or after the other. It's nice to get up in the morning and just be absorbed in that. It's a little easier than the Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. I have near nervous breakdowns trying to formulate philosophical points or correlate opposing contradictory statements in different books. Particularly things that were like outside Prabhupada's books, translated by devotees. Sometimes translation really loses the actual meaning of what's meant to be there. Just like this morning, it was not a philosophical thing, but it was just such a, this is supposedly a translation by this God Vaishnava. He says, O Srinivasa Narottam, what can I say? The enchanting pastimes of Krishna are rare even for Lord Brahma. What meaning? Lord Brahma is doing Krishna's pastimes? Because meaningless are rare even for Lord Brahma. Are rare what? Rare to be heard, rare to be seen, rare to be understood, are rare for even Lord Brahma. It means, you know, Krishna, Lord Brahma is like imitating Krishna's pastimes, or...
That's the problem with a lot of publishing, like the translation, the editing, you know, and everybody grabs and reads them, you know, it's not like it's being too standard.
Yes. Yeah, it's, I mean, editing just for meaning, editing for grammar, editing for spelling. I'm no great speller, but even I catch spelling mistakes in these books. What to speak of when I get a name of a pastime place, and from four reference books, they all call it a different thing. Or they spell it all different. Someone in Hindi, someone in Brijbhas, someone in Sanskrit, someone in, I don't know, some other language. And you're supposed to give that place a name. But I spend a lot more time researching things than I do writing. But that's a large part of Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. I probably spent 70% reading and 30% writing.
Isn't there somebody that can help you with research? I mean, most writers have a research department.
Well, there's one type of research is to find the information. And that's not... I have. if I need to find, but since almost everything's on folio, it's not finding it isn't. You find it, and then it needs to be really, when there's a lot of information, filtered out. But then some of it, a lot of the research is just sort of assimilating, and it's for me, it's educational. I learn a lot. And for Tamani, I had to read and digest and wait with some points. I spent a lot of time, in Govardhan in the bathroom, walking back and forth, brushing my teeth. My teeth got really white, trying to evaluate certain things. I'm not doing anything with this until I'm completely finished, which at this rate could be a long time from now. Anyway, I'll speed up when I leave Mayapur. I'm not doing any editing until I'm like completely satisfied with what I've done. And there's a lot to the book. I'm just sort of doing the first draft, and then I'll add other things to it when I rewrite it. And then I have there's a second part, a reference part, so sort of, and that's just right now I'm just sort of jotting down. So I'm not. There's no use in doing editing right now.
Index?
Yeah. That's why it's more than just one book. It's like three books. One book is sort of the prose text. The other one is add notes, appendices, and bibliography. And then the third one is maps. Yeah. Maps, drawings. And this one has a different type of drawings. These are like more the way they used to do etching type, very very detailed drawings, almost like photographs. They look almost like photographs. Like some places you can't tell. The whole group of devotees is four of them right now. I'm just doing that. Because I'm doing many. Maybe like over 100. That's why books are so expensive. I maintain four people for I don't know a year just to draw, and then on top of that, then there will be translation and editing, and copyright and proofreading, and maps are like something else. That's
Well, we're finally bringing our natures on a cure, aren't we?
Say that again.
We're finally bringing up nature's IKEA for Krishna.
Oh. He'll be happy.
Yes, he's a true slave of love. True kind of love.
Seen her since some Rath Yatra in England when he was there.
He's getting more involved and he's bought a building yesterday.
Yeah. The original, yeah, that was fantastic. I would probably think that a lot of the stuff you need to have more relevant, updated. That must be 20 years. So we need to get some modern material. Great preaching too, and it was long enough to be made into a book.
Yeah, we could have done like one of those Time Life books, you know, for the film, and that's awful. And the graphics have come along the way, and that's all the things that we've got now.
He just did one, which is called "What If." Got a cow falling out of the ceiling onto a scientist's desk. And so what if evolution, something like that, what if evolution is not correct? And That was great. I showed the GBC a clip of one lecture he was giving in the university, and he was talking about the fallacy of scientific explanation of evolution, and how people are just brainwashed and they just accept it. And this is on film, and then right in the middle of the whole thing, there's this this biology professor. He just gets so worked up, he falls right off of his chair. And then you see him sort of climbing back up into the chair, is watching. He says, "This is too much for me." It just blew me away.
Who was doing the lecture? Ishwara Krishna.
Yeah.
I've never met him.
Huh?
I've never met him.
Yeah, he's very good. He's a great, great speaker. But you know, the real direction in which I'm trying to let this additional emphasis go, which has broader appeal than this whole scientific approach. Scientific approach is really for people who are scientifically minded, and it's not, there's nothing new. It's just the same old thing, not the same old thing, but it's the same thing. Evolution doesn't work. It's all a lie. Darwin cheated everyone, and so on and so on. But the whole concept of sustainable living and which approaches the whole issue of materialism, just and the consequences of materialism from another angle, is something that every layman is into nowadays. Everyone reads up on it. Everyone's into it. Everyone knows about global warming and solar cells and alternate energy sources and so many other things. It's like, it's much more topical than evolution, and it's new, and it's real. That people are feeling the effects. They don't feel the effects of Darwinian evolution, but they really feel the effect of global warming and what our artificial lifestyle has led to. So we, at the farm, we have an institute for... started an institute, which means sort of an office for alternate and sustainable lifestyle, which we're showing there at the farm, and we're arranging a conference this year on that. We're working in tandem with other universities, and we're trying to both put out literature, and a sort of real practical effort this year is all of the sewage and waste on the farm. Right now it's getting carted away. And the result of that is that our sewage costs us more than our drinking water. Because it has to get carted away 40, 50 kilometers. So it costs more to pass water than to drink water. And so we're developing the this refiltration system, which It's going to be just the second one in Hungary. It's only one other place that has it. And which is, you know, so good that the grey water gets purified to the extent that we already have it the permission for it. And it will just run back into the water system, into the stream. I mean, they say it's so clear that you can drink it, but you have to have a lot of faith in the process for that.
Where is the plant coming from?
Huh?
Where is the manufacturer of the plant that makes the filtration? Is it an Hungarian one?
It's just plastic pipe, you just run it down and it runs into reeds. It's just a natural system. Reeds purify the water, plants purify the water. And there's nothing moving, nothing mechanical, it's all completely natural. There's no so that's like a I've been, you know, speaking with Deva Amrita Maharaj, and that is, I think, the direction. In fact, VI is into developing that and working on that. That's, I think, the real important direction of scientific preaching that really touches everybody, because people like the Shukrishik Dhamma, people on the Federal Republic of Canada, and it's sort of a shift that our scientific preaching could and should make a real thing. And it's what the Prabhupada's heart communities were all about. The only problem is there's not much faith in ISKCON, the Prabhupada system of self-sufficiency works. We need to, you know, it's not enough just to talk about it. It needs to be done to people that are willing to live simply and with minimal. So many ministries, everyone's into it, but no one's willing to do it. I mean, you know, maybe they'll ban plastic bags sometime in Budapest or Hungary. But that's one thing. Something else is that people are willing to change the whole transport system, the way that they live, and their heating systems. Those things really sort of cost so much, but since we already started from scratch and sort of went in that direction, if you follow what Prabhupada says, then you automatically come up with something that's really, really pleasing to these people, and it's just what they're looking for. So it's easy to get people behind it. Anyway, that's
great. Yeah, HKD has just produced a documentary in Dutch, which he's converting into English, which shows how the meat industry is actually the biggest contributor to global warming. You know, it's like more than all of the fossil fuels.
That sounds good.
What do you think could be done here in Mayapur? One of the things is the soil.
Plastic bags, get rid of the dang plastic bags everywhere. But they say that some of the plastic bags and India has just gone nuts with all this stuff over the last years. Really old deeds.
Have you looked at digestive systems for recycling solid waste?
Yeah, in fact, that one devotee who was from Lebanon at that time, he came and we did that at the farm, that whole composting system.
I think that's something that could be done here before guest houses, otherwise we're just going to build more and more.
The problem there is even this filtration system, but that's sort of easier, is in a certain room, at a certain temperature, the process stops. It doesn't work.
Well, it's not a problem here.
It's not a problem here, but it's a problem there.
Oh,
it's a problem there. From November till March, it doesn't work. Yeah, some things could be here. It could be sunflower, instead of using diesel, you know, use sunflower seed oil for it, the electricity, and cars and everything.
There's a system now where you can use, because the problem with sunflower really is crops, is that it's an inefficient use of land. It pushes up the commodity prices of the food. There's a new system now that we're investigating where you can use algae, which is 200 times more efficient. It just needs water and sunlight and oxygen. And it's 200 times more efficient than using soybeans or sunflowers or anything like that. It's got a sarin in there.
It was interesting where I can't remember where I was reading that some figure that right now, I think the world uses, I don't know, 10 billion acres of land for agriculture, and that there's something like another 8 billion unused.
Yeah.
That was the whole idea. It's not that it's being used for anything else, it's just unused. Yeah. It's not a matter of cutting down forests or anything.
What they tend to do is they contract the farmers, they get a higher price for their soybean for biodiesel than they do for sort of stop growing for food. It becomes into competition. But anyway, this system is, you know, you get 200 times better land use. We're investigating a plant in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. It's very simple, it's working.
Algae, but that means it must be underwater.
No, you just provide the water, and then it comes off as a slurry. All it needs is water.
Sitting on the land.
No, no, you can do it in, they've got a system where you do it in tubes like this. Manufacturing system, so you can get, you know, it's like balloons, tubes, so they can do it. So in a very compact area, you can do it, and you just have to keep adding water.
Anyway, that's the use of good use of technology, as long as it's not too complicated technology for providing simple solutions. But that's, those are really. Those are what we should. We should have brought that side of the business already 25 years before its time. And as usual, if we followed what Prabhupada said, then we'd be, you know, pioneering ahead. We could be showing it. So it's about simple living, high thinking. It's pretty.
Yeah, this place in Pondicherry is, you know, it's a tourist attraction because of that, some of the aspects to it. Developing self-sufficient systems down there for years.
Mm.
So we should be using it. And as you say, our farm communities particularly should be. There could be huge tourist attractions just for that.
Well, that was one point GBC raised to the outreach program about the new temple. That this is going to be our statement to the world.
Right.
That it should be green also. At least as green as possible. Of course, that means, you know, expensive, at least more expensive. But, that's the price to say. Okay.